Okay, so we're on Daf Lamed Vav tonight. So if you remember yesterday, we spoke about a machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. If a Yavama either has Yivam done or a Chalitza done after the death of her husband, obviously, but, you know, and she's pregnant at the time. In other words, she doesn't wait 3 months. Neither party waits 3 months. And they end up doing Yivam or Chalitza. And then she miscarries the fetus. So at the end, you know, when we look at the end product, it's like no harm, no foul, because at the end she really was chayiv and chalitza or chayiv and yibum. But in the meantime, was that yibum or chalitza legally effective? So Rabbi Yochanan says yes, legally effective, because if Eliyahu Navi had shown up and told us that, you know, this is what's going to take place, so then we would have taken that as the fact, and the minute she's chayiv and yibum or chalitza. And Reish Lakish says, no, it's not at all legally effective. And they each explain the Mishnah in accordance with their opinions, okay? Then, so the Gemara asks, and this is one of the rare machlokot where the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Shechter had mentioned this to me the other day, but we'll see it in today's Gemara as well. Anyway, then...
I thought it was like Reish Lakish.
Yeah, but like Reish Lakish is what I meant, right? It's usually like Rabbi Yochanan, here it's like Reish Lakish, right? So...
May I ask a question before you start, though?
What's up?
Sorry, you look annoyed. I asked a question earlier in the Masechta, if there's like a correct amount of time to elapse before you do Yibam and Chalitza on the back end. I see that a proper amount of time is 3 months from the pregnancy perspective. Right. But you can't let her sit around.
3 months from the death of her husband. But it's open ended. In other words, there's no statute of limitations on it. And indeed, she's obligated to do one or the other. There's an iser upon her. Lotiation made a kusli czar. She can't marry anybody unless she deals with the Zika ahead of time. So she's got to take care of that. All right.
Yeah, but it's up to the man to do.
I need to go forward with the Gemara. Let me at the end of the studio, I'll try to pause for them with you, Fern. Let me focus on today's Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara has Akasha against Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said it's a legally effective act of chalitz or yibam. So the Gemara quoted a brisa 10 lines from the bottom on the Mevavim Beis, which said, "Akonis yibim tov, a person marries his yivami, does yibam with the yivama, and turns out she's pregnant, meaning from the first husband. So her co-wife, meaning Reuven was married to Rachel, and Reuven was married to Bilhah. So, and then Shimon, then Shimon did Yibam with her, or what he thought was Yibam with her. So her tzara, Bilhah, can't remarry Shimei Heavlad ben Kayama, because maybe the offspring is a viable offspring. So the Gemara couldn't understand the Brisa the way it's written, and then the Gemara assumed that what the Brisa meant is Shimei Heavlad, you know, Shimon lo Heavlad ben Kayama, because maybe the offspring will not be viable. And Mimela, if it's not viable, so the Gemara says, one second. So the Vlad will not be a viable offspring. So if, in other words, if it's not a viable offspring, so the question is, if the Bia of a Muberet is called Bia, why can't, in other words, if the act of Yibum, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is an effective act of Yibum, and she was pregnant, but it wasn't for a viable offspring. But they didn't know that at the time. But notwithstanding that, the Brisa says her tzara can't remarry. So it sounds like it was not a legally effective act of Yibam. That's what it sounds like. L'chor, that's what sounds like the Brisa is saying. So that's a kasha against Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan says, if you do the act of Bia for the Shemi Yibam, and it turns out the offspring is not viable, so that's it, you're home free, it's Yibam. So once Yibam is done, then her tzara is free to remarry. But the Brisa says not this way. So that's the kasha against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara says on Lamed Vav Amud Aleph on the second line. So Elamar Rava Hachi Kamara. So Rava says what the Brisa means as follows: Hakonus Yivimto, if a person marries his Yivama, Venim Seit Uberet, and it turns out she's pregnant, Arezu Lotina Seit Sarata, her Tsara, the co-wife, can't remarry, Shemi Hevlad Ben Kayama, it's the other way around, the way we had it originally, because maybe the offspring will be a viable offspring. Ubiat muberet lashma bia, b'chalitza muberet lashma chalitza, meaning if she's carrying a viable offspring, so even Rabbi Yochanan nobody holds that the biur chalitza mean anything. If she's carrying a viable offspring, it means there's no chiyuv chalitza, there's no chiyuv yibum, there's no mitzvah at all. So any biur chalitza he did is a zero. He says v'havlanin upoter, and he adds on this line, the offspring doesn't exempt anybody ad sheyitzelav yirholam until it's born. So it means that the Gemara is saying that even if, in other words, let's say I'm Bilha, I look at the situation, and I think, Rachel, you know, Shimon did Yibam with Rachel. I guess I can go marry or do whatever I need to do. So the Gemara says, no, like you got to wait, because even if it turns out that she's like she could be carrying a viable offspring, and if she's carrying a viable offspring, so any Yibam that's not a Yibam, any Chalitza is not a Chalitza, but I'm not off the hook until the child is born. The child's not going to be born for a number of months of going in the future, so I got to hold back. So the Gemara says, Tani Kabati the Rabba, I'll pause another 15 lines. Tani Kabati the Rabba, we learned a brisa that supports what Rabba's Hezber of the previous brisa. So we had one brisa, and now the Gemara quotes another brisa. Tani Kavati de Rabbi, we learn a brisa that supports Rabbi's interpretation of the first brisa. The second brisa says that Konis Yivim Tovidim Seit Muberet, if a person marries his Yivam and it turns out she's pregnant, a Reizulo Tina Seit Sarata, her co-wife shouldn't remarry, Shemiyahi Vlad Ben Kayama. This brisa says Mufurash, because the Vlad will be a Ben Kayama, which is really what our first brisa said before we placed it up. Main be of a Chalitza Poteret, and then the B and the Chalitza are a nullity. Now the Vlad Poter, the offspring will exempt everybody, but Vlad ain't Potra ad sheyitzelav yirholam. But the Vlad doesn't pater anybody till it's born. So everybody's got to hold off until this child is born. So the Gemara says, Tama d'shem yehei Vlad ben Kayama. So now the Gemara makes a deduction from this price. So originally we asked the price as a kash against Rabbi Yochanan. We thought it was a kash against him, but now we explained the first brisa, and we have a second brisa that supports it. So the way this second brisa is, it fully supports Rabbi Yochanan, but it's saying under these circumstances, the Vlad could be Ben Kayama. So the Gemara says, Tama d'shem yehei Vlad Ben Kayama. Who? Halo havi Vlad Ben Kayama. But if the Vlad is not a Ben Kayama, he's not a viable offspring, miftar tsarata, then the implication of the brisa is that the Sara, the co-wife, is off the hook. Because wife were, you know, widow number one did biur or chalitza with him, and she wasn't carrying a viable offspring. So it sounds like she's off the hook. Lema tevetiyuf the reish lakish. So now that which was originally, or the similar brisa, which was originally posed as a kasha against Rabbi Yochanan, it's like typical. And then you explain it. Now the Gemara, you know, turns the tables and poses a question to reish lakish. So it sounds like that it would be a legally effective bia or a chalitza if she's not carrying a bar kayama. So Amalak Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish would say to you, Hachi Katani, this is the way we should understand the brisa, the second brisa. Hakonis Yivim Tovidim Seit Muberet, if a person marries his Yavama and it turns out she's pregnant, Harezul Tina Seit Tsarato, that Tsara should not remarry. And then here he changes it. Just like in the first brisa, we started out that it was a bar kayama. Then we changed it. No, say not a bar kayama. Then we went back to say, no, it's a bar kayama. Here too, Reish Lakish changes the brisa a little bit. It's just really one word, but the way he understands it. Because the offspring may not be a bar kayama, but chalitza muberet lashma chalitza, be it muberet lashma bia. So far, when he changes one word, now the brisa is fully in accordance with, now it supports the Reish Lakish. In other words, that it might not be a viable offspring, but if you do biur chalitza with it, it's not effective, which is what Reish Lakish said. Now, but the only thing that is difficult is because the last line of the brisa says that about this vlad. Vlad is potra, vlad ain't potra, and she said, l'bir ha'olam. What does he do with that? The im tomar, alecha rov nashim, maybe you'll say, this is Reish Lakish touching up the brisa, maybe you'll say that, you know, in Achinami, you know, she's not carrying a viable offspring, but most women do carry to term, is what the Gemara says. Most women do carry to term, so why can't we just say we're going to follow the rove and, you know, not sweat it out? In other words, so So if she's pregnant, why can't I say, you know, no harm, no foul? You know, most likely she'll give birth to a bar kayama, and then I can get married right away. He says, v'lad ain't poter ad shetilav yira olam. So then the Braisa says, even though yet, sir, she's carrying a viable offspring, it's not going to potter you till he's born. So don't act hastily. In other words, don't be hasty with this. In other words, either it's not a bar kayama, in which case you're on the hook, but even if it is a bar kayama, which most women are, but you're still on the hook till she gives birth. Okay, let's just summarize again, pause and take a breath, and we'll see where we're going. So the way we are right now, again, we have the machloket Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, which is basically when a woman is pregnant and she's acting improperly, they're both acting improperly. They're doing Yibum or Chalitza before the expiration of 3 months from the death of the brother. But the question is that, and then let's say it turns out that it was not a bar kayama, it turns out it was not a viable offspring. Is the Yibum or Chalitza that was done in the interim, is that a legally valid Yibum or Chalitza? So Rabbi Yochanan says it is, Reish Lakish says it's not. So they each explain the braises in accordance with their opinion. And so we're like no hot, like sort of like, you know, like a Mexican standoff, Lahavdil, at this point in time. Okay, so what do you have for me? Any questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? So so Yosef asked, today we have pregnancy tests. Does the woman have to wait 3 months? So this gets into an issue whether you use like modern science to be mavarer or halakhic issues. I think you still have to wait to 3 months first of all, you could say that even with pregnancy tests, I'm sure it's not 100%, there's a certain amount not that way, but you know, women get divorced all the time, and I think they tell them they wait 3 months. So I don't think the halakha relies on modern pregnancy tests. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts?
Does that go to what Tosfot was talking about yesterday between what's known and what's knowable and unknown?
So Tosfot was talking about when Reish Lakish applies something retroactively. So he said Rabbi Yochanan doesn't want to apply something retroactively in this case because it's unknowable. But if something's just unknown, we would. I don't think that per se relates to what I was just talking about. And it was halacha is you wait 3 months, and I was saying it's not 100% conclusive, you know, even if you have a pregnancy test. Okay.
One question. Viable offspring means a full...
Yeah, so viable means that it's going to live at least 30 days after birth. And viable also means that it was for a full-term baby would also be a viable baby. That's what viable means. If she miscarries or the child dies within 30 days of birth, that's viewed as non-viable. You got it? Okay, let's
get back. But the seven-monther should also be viewed as viable because we were talking about that yesterday.
So it could be that it will be viable, but it's not mukhrach. In other words, the way the Gemara takes it, if a child is carried to full term, there's a presumption that it's a viable offspring. In other words, if it was a full-term baby, the presumption is that was a healthy baby. That's the presumption of halakha. All
right. And not the seven-monther?
Well, the seven-month, if he lasts, then he is viable. But the nine-month, it's presumed, you know, from the get-go that he's viable. Okay? I think even if he would die within 30 days, he's viewed as a viable offspring. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, so again, let's focus on Reish Lakish. We said the halakha is like Reish Lakish. So it comes out that if according to Reish Lakish, if a person does Yibum or Chalitza with his sister-in-law within 3 months of his brother's death and she's pregnant, so it's not legally effective, the Chalitza or the Yibum. I guess the Chalitza seems a little easier. In other words, he does Chalitza with her and then she miscarries. So the Chalitza is a nullity. So Amr Blazar, Efer Itlahad Reish Lakish, lo tanan lavo anitin. Blazar could have been that the Chachamim hold, and it was Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, he's going to say that the Tanayim hold like them as well. And so they each had a way to explain our Mishnah. For Blazar, it says, is it possible that, Reish Lakish has his opinion and there's no Mishnah that supports it? So for Nafak Dakfa Ashka, so he went, he looked, and he found a Mishnah that he thought supported Reish Lakish. And the Gemara's going to shlug it up, but we'll see what he came up with. Didan, we learn the Mishnah later on in our Masechta and Daf Kuf Yotet. There's a new case, forget all cases that we did up till now. So it's a little bit like wills. Like the first line in every will is, I hereby revoke all prior wills. So little kimtas, like, you know, delete all prior kimtas. Okay, so now, let's say Reuven was married to Rachel and Bilhah. And then Reuven decides to take Bilhah on a world cruise. So and then people come to Rachel, let's say after a month, and say, we have bad news. Reuven, your husband, died. He says, so Rachel is not allowed to, now again, they didn't have any children. Rachel is not allowed to remarry or to go through Yibam either. In other words, she's caught between a rock and a hard place. She can't remarry unless somebody does, the husband's dead. So she needs Yibam or Chalitza. So she can't do Yibam yet because maybe her tzara is right. You know, carrying the husband's child. But so she can't do Yibam or Chalitza, but at the same time, she can't remarry. She doesn't know, you know, what's going on. So he says, Harei zlo tinasei b'lo tiyabim. She can't remarry because maybe she needs Yibam or Chalitza. B'lo tiyabim, she can't do Yibam either. So she can clarify or verify what the status of her co-wife is, who may be up in France or somewhere. So that's the Mishnah. So then now his proof, this is Reb Lazar's ostensible proof. So I can understand Rachel can't risk Yibum because maybe Bilha is carrying a bar kayama, in which case she'll be engaged in the Easter Eishadach. She'll be having illicit relations with her brother-in-law. He says, which would be a Torah prohibition. But why? The Mishnah didn't address this. Why doesn't the Mishnah say that she could do chalitza? In other words, chalitza seems to be innocuous. You know, he just puts on a shoe, she takes the shoe off. Right, and so why don't we do the chalitza deal? So bishleim atachlo tok tisha, b'sinaseh tok tisha lo. So I understand I don't want her to do chalitza within 9 months of the husband's death, or to get married within 9 months of the husband's death. In other words, the husband could have impregnated Bilha. Let's say she gets the news that your husband died on February the 15th. So I understand within 9 months of February the 15th, you don't want to do chalitza and remarriage. Because he says, I knew Safik. That's a Safik because maybe that she was carrying the offspring. Ella tachlots betok tisha b'tina sidachar tisha. But why can't she do the chalitza within 9 months? That she could do, and then marry after the 9 months, and then it's certainly no harm, no foul. If he didn't have children, she did the chalitza. And if he did have a child, then she's free to remarry either way. So then why doesn't the Tana Mishnah recommend that course of action? Everybody got this so far? Okay. So now the Gemara says, right. So again, so actually Rashi, did you look ahead? Because Rashi has a girsa that's 3 months, but it's saying, but Rashi's preferred girsa is 9 months because in other words, we want the child to be born. In other words, then if the child's born, then that's it. That would exempt her. And if there's no child, then she's a chalitza. So the Tana doesn't mention that option. So since the Tana does not mention that option, we think the Saraya that you now that option is not a viable option. To do chalitza within 9 months of the husband's death is not a viable option because we think, like it's supporting Reish Lakish, the chalitza done when one of the wives, it doesn't matter which wife, one of the wives is pregnant, is not a valid chalitza. So the Gemara says, so that's the ostensible proof that Reb Lazar wants to bring from the Mishnah for Reish Lakish. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't recommend doing chalitza within 9 months, then marrying after the 9 months. So the Gemara asks, "L'tameich tachlot v'tinasei lachar tisha." So, but according to that svara, why doesn't the Mishnah say let her do chalitza after the 9 months and then get married after the 9 months? In other words, you know, as you're bringing proof, the Mishnah doesn't say do chalitza within the 9 months and get married after the 9 months. So why does the Mishnah say let her wait 9 months and then do chalitza and get married? That should work. Well, why does the Mishnah say that? So the Gemara says, Ella bar mina dahi. So the Gemara says, exclude that Mishnah is not a riot. Why? The Abaye we have on the side, Avin. The Abaye bar Avin, and Amri Tarvayu, both, it sounds like two brothers. I don't know if it's not the famous Abaye, but Abaye Bar Avin and Rav Chinna Bar Avin both say, Shemihei Vlad Ben Kayama, because we're afraid, let's say we go forward and we do Chalitza with the, in other words, it could be the Tana holds that Chalitza technically would be okay within the 9 months, but we're afraid that if we do Chalitza, and then it turns out that her co-wife had a full-term baby, so it was an unnecessary Chalitza. So we're going to have to need a corrective announcement that now she's permissible to a Kohen. In other words, she went through a Chalitza ritual, a Chalitza mitzvah process, which is normally asks her on Kuna, but it was a totally unnecessary, possibly, Chalitza episode because her co-wife gave birth to a viable offspring. So you're going to put us in a, we don't want to mention, recommend doing Chalitza for a woman in this case, because then we're going to have to be in a situation where we have to make an announcement to say the Chalitza that was done was, unnecessary and she's permissible to a Kohen. Okay, so the Gemara had initially said, why doesn't she do Chalitza within the 9 months? And the Gemara says, since it doesn't say that, it's a proof like Reish Lakish. But then the Gemara says, it doesn't say do Chalitza after the 9 months. So the Gemara says that Mishnah is no proof. In other words, it could be the Mishnah holds Bechlal, she should not do Chalitza when she doesn't know what's going on with this co-wife, because we're afraid the co-wife really is going to bear or has born a full-term child. The Chalitza was unnecessary, and she's really permissible to Kuna. We have to make an announcement. So the Gemara says, well, let's request. So fine. So let her do the Chalitza, and we'll make the announcement. So Dilma Ika Inish Dahabi Bechalitza, we're concerned. Maybe somebody will be around when she goes through the Chalitza. And he won't be around when they make the announcement. But after the Maimar, Kashari Chalutz the Kohen. People say a Chalutz is allowed to marry a Kohen. So because of this, we don't want to recommend doing Chalitza under these circumstances. So that's no proof. Then the Gemara brings another sort of proof that it's no proof, another, Kasha against the Hezber. Amalei Abaye, Milo Tachlo Tzlot Yavim Katani. Does the Tana say she shouldn't do Chalitza and not do Yibam? Below Chalitza, he says, it just says that she shouldn't marry, she shouldn't do Yibum without Chalitza. Aval I Chalitz lo hachanami d'sharia. So this Hezber wants to say differently, but it's either way, it's not proof. This member wants to say Chalitza would be a good idea. She could do Chalitza. So anyway, that was a dead letter with that Mishnah. Now, just one line. Tani Kivati Reish Lakish, at the end of the day, this would be the line to underline or to highlight. You learn this Bryce that supports Reish Lakish. The Bryce says, Hal Choles Lamu Beret, if a person does Chalitza with his pregnant sister in law, Vihipila, and then she miscarries, Sricha Chalitza Menahatin. She requires Chalitza from either the brothers of the decedent, or it means the brothers of the Yavam, but it means including the Yavam. But either way, she requires Chalitza. So Amarava Hilchatak Devati Reish Lakish Bani Tlat Karahad the Amram. So Rabbi says Halacha follows Reish Lakish in these three dinim. One we just did. Okay, now who's the questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that I did so far?
Why is this?
Okay. Wait a second. Welcome, Daniel. Okay, Yosef asked me a question. I'll come to you in a minute, Fern. So Yosef asked me, didn't we say that Yibam and Chalitza go hand in hand or hand in glove? Yeah, we did say that. If you're eligible for Yibam, you're eligible for Chalitza. That's what we had said. But in this case, though, at least in one Ukimta, one Hezber, we're saying that, Chalitza is going to, in other words, technically, if one of you would, but Chalitza is going to run into problems. In other words, if I do Chalitza, I could run into problems with the cool. Right. In other words, the Gemara was saying if the woman is eligible for Yibam, she's eligible for Chalitza. That's the Yisod the Gemara says above. But under the fact pattern that we're saying here, there could be a problem if she does Chalitza. That's what the Gemara thought. In other words, technically, you're right. If she's eligible for one, she's eligible for the other. But under this fact pattern, this unusual fact pattern, where the husband went off with the co-wife, so the Medina Sayam, so we could run into problems if we do Chalitza, is what the Gemara is saying. All right. All right, now Fern had a
question.
Fern, then Daniel. Go ahead, Fern.
They had this brisa all along. Why didn't they just bring that out?
I mean, you have all of Shas like that, Fern. All of Shas you have
but
like
here,
that.
But here, this sometimes is so clear goes on all fours.
Sometimes the Gemara goes on for 3 pages, and then at the end it has a raya. You say, why did the Gemara on 3 pages? Why don't we just quote the raya in front? Then we don't need it. Anyway, but that,
it was this, just, this, it was at all fours.
This is the derech of the Gemara. Okay, what do you got for me, Daniel?
We said that viable is 30 days, but imagine more than 30 days. We know that the child passed away. At this time, no longer is the woman eligible
right.
for you.
But right. No. We follow what the mitzvah in the Torah is. That's the mitzvah in the Torah.
Isn't that the reason for that?
Well,
the
goes there to the brother. Well, the zera ain't law, but the in this case he had zera. That's all I can say. All right. Or let's say you know the child was in a car accident. The child was in a car accident 2 months after born. That's it. Okay, island eat. Okay. All right. I got to move on. Everybody ready? Okay. So now again, so we said the halacha follows Reish Lakish in 3 dinim. And we're going to do all 3 dinim now. The next 2 dinim don't per se deal with the same topic, but we're going to cover the dinim, okay? All right. So, and if you can remember this Daf Gemara 3 dinim, that helps. You know, I don't have a mnemonic device for this. Like the Gemara has, luck is like a bayin yal pigam. I don't have a. But that's fine. Okay, now the Gemara says, okay, 5 lines from the bottom. Lamed Bav Manal 36A, 5 lines from the bottom. Idach, what is it? Kojai? What is it? Where is that? Where is it? Kojai, where is it? Kojai. Okay. So Idach, the next case is the Dan. We learn the Mishnah. This is the Mishnah in Bava Batra. Hamachalik the Chasa of Alpiv. Now, this is talking about a person who's a Shchiv Mira. Daf Yom Hum, remember, you don't. In other words, normally, if a person dies, or a Dinam Birusha, how it passes through. And a person, if he wants to give a matana during his lifetime, he has to do a kinyan. But Chachamim carved out an exception. If a person's a shchiv mira, if he's like on his deathbed, then we say divrei shchiv mira kechtuvin chum surim dami. The words of a shchiv mira, his oral statement, are like it's a done deal. So the Gemara says that no, I'm a chalik mechas lepopiv. A person, he's dividing his estate, you know, orally. Reba lechad, he's got sons, so he gives more to one son. Umiyat lechad, he gave less to another son. Bishvala him at a bakur, and he says, you know, I don't want the bakur to get pishnayim. He's getting the same as all of you. Devar, he said, any, in other words, he did A, B, or C. In other words, he did one, less for one, or he says the bakur is equal. Devar of kayamin. So we're going to leave a force in effect to his word. Vimamar mishem yerusha lo mar klum. But if he says, you know, I want this done, but I want it done as Yerusha, that undoes everything he says. Because once he says the word Yerusha, then he's matna mashativ Torah. He's making it, in other words, if we did the first way, we assume he's making a matana. So a person can make a lifetime gift that he's free to do. And then his words, like the gift is given. But if he says, I'm giving it to you as Yerusha, quote unquote, so Yerusha means it's something different. Yerusha means like when you die, and you're making it tanai. That goes against what the Torah says. We're not going to give legal force and effect to it. Now, let's say he writes it up, but he's still a shibin ra. Now, let's say in the sentence, he mentions the word matana, whether he mentions the word matana at the beginning of the bequest, the end of the bequest, or the middle of the bequest, then it's effective. So Rashi gives the examples. So tchilo would be, if he says, on the bottom line of Rashi, I want, you know, this field A and B given to, you know, Reuven and let him yarshin it. But he said the word matana. So he said both words, but we're going to give full force and effect to the matana word. Or be'emsa, he said yershav and tinatein lo v'yershav. Or he said at the end, yershav and tinatein lo. So either way, once he uses the word matana, then we're going to give full force and effect to the matana. Now, turn page, the top line and on the base. He says, but Amar Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish said concerning this Mishnah, Li'olam lo kanad shiomar. Now, does Machloket, does he have to say by each one of his, each bequest, does he have to say it's matana or not? So it's Machloket. So Reish Lakish holds by each bequest, he has to say matana. So Amar Reish Lakish, Li'olam lo kanad, In other words, the person doesn't receive the bequest. Achimar ploni uploni, your shusada ploni uploni, shnitatim lahem b'matana v'irashom. In other words, he says Yerusha, Matana, Yerusha, but the key in the sentence is, he says Matana by both of them. In other words, Reish Lakish says, you don't get it until you say, can you say Matana by all of them? And Rabbi Yochanan says that even if he says Yerusha by one and Matana by the other, since he mentioned Matana, his intent was that it all should be a Matana. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. But Reish Lakish says Matana has to be mentioned by each recipient. So has to have the word Matana. So he says, so that halacha, that's like Reish Lakish. That's like Reish Lakish. Now, the third halacha, and then we'll pause at the two dots. V'irach, the third halacha, V'irach, Ditnan, this is a Mishnah also in Baba Batra. Akotev kol nechasev levno la karmoto. A person writes off all of his property to his son after his death. Meaning, and Rashi says on the fifth narrow line in Rashi, Mayom al-Kharmita. Mayom al-Kharmita means that, let's say, the father says to the son, I'm giving you, Greenacre, Mayom al-Kharmita. In other words, you own the Karen, but I own the payroad. So in other words, the essence of a field is the payroad. The essence of the field is you work the field. That's the essence of the field. But you have title to the field, but I still have payroad until the father says my death, at which point you get everything. That's a way out of like the dinim of Yerusha. It's like making a matana, but it doesn't become a fully effective matana until his death. So again, so the father can't transfer title because he gave it over to the son. And the son really also can't transfer title because the father also has a piece of it. If the father has the right to the payroll, let's say the father sells his rights in the property to Zvulun, he says, Mechurin ad Shemurhu. He says, so then those rights, he could sell the rights to the payroll. In other words, that's all the father has, the right to the payroll. So if the father sells his rights in the property during his lifetime, he's only selling a life estate to somebody. That's basically what it is, life estate. So then that person has the right till the death of the father. Machara ben, let's say the son was given title to the real property. Let's say the son sells his rights to the property. Ein lokeach klum ad shemura'av. Lokeach, the purchaser, has nothing until the father dies, because the son owns the karen, the father owns the payroad, and we'll see in a minute what's doing with this. The itmar, it was stated, machara ben b'chayi ha'av, let's say the son sold his whatever rights during the lifetime of the father, umed haben mechayav, and then the son predeceased the father. Now, if the son sold his rights in the property, and then the son survived the father, upon the father's death, it would all go to the lokeach. That would go, but that's anticipating. But it didn't work out that way. So a lot of things in life are like that, and it's not the way people think, To use a little Yiddish aphorism, a mensch trocht and Gott lacht. A man thinks and a man plans and God laughs, right? So the son sold his rights, but then the son predeceased the father. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, lo kana lokeach. Rabbi Yochanan says, lokeach has got zero. That's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Reish Lakish Amar, kana lokeach. Reish Lakish says, no, lokeach still has the property upon the death of the father. Yochanan says lokeach is nothing, because the key indicia of ownership, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is kinyan payroad. The one who owns the payroad is really the real primary title holder, and the one who owned the payroad was the father. Reish Lakish amar kana lokeach. Reish Lakish says at the end of the day, lokeach has the property. Why? Kinyan payroad lav kinyan gufdami. Kinyan payroad is not like the kinyan guf. So it means that, according to Reish Lakish, when the person purchased from the son, so it hasn't all come to him yet, but the son was authorized to sell Greenacre to somebody else, because kinyan payroad lav kinyan guf, at the end of the day, the son owned the property, and the son predeceased the father upon the father's death, so then this other person will get titled to Greenacre. So this halakha is also like Reish Lakish. Okay, let's just summarize the three halakhot, and then we'll take questions. So the first din we had is Cholitz Lehuberbi, Pilus Rich, Cholitz Menachem. If you remember those few lines, I guess it's the main thing. The person does Cholitza with the pregnant, you know, sister-in-law, so she still needs another Cholitza. That's the first halacha. Then the second halacha was that that Le'olam lo kanashim or ploni and ploni or shu said that ploni to ploni shtim lehem matana. If I'm right, if I'm doing a gift, I'm making like this gift from a shchiv meira, I have to mention matana by each beneficiary, or each recipient of the gift. And then the third halacha is kinyan peirot is lav kinyan aguf dami. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything that we did so far? Daniel has a comment. We're going to hear Daniel's comment now. Go. Wait. Only one person can speak at the same time, and it's Daniel. Okay, we'll get to you in a minute. Okay, what's up?
First, Shumira, you take consideration the fact that it's about to die. Of course, it's going to only hell if he actually dies. He's not going to die. Yes, right. It's not going to be valid anyway. At this point, you give special dispensation that his words are as if he wrote them.
Right.
In this situation, you want him to come and think to come in Matana. Matana, he's got 12 kids over there. Doesn't say Matana is not valid. How does it make sense?
Well, there's only so much we'll do for you. That's the way it goes. Okay.
Can you repeat his comment?
Daniel said, "A person's a shchimiran is on his deathbed. Is it right for us to be so machpid that he has to say matana by each one?" So the answer is, Reish Lakish holds that's the way it goes, because otherwise, mentioned before, otherwise he's matnel mashik to the Torah. He's making stipulation against that which the Torah prescribes. Okay, now who I think it was Pesach David. Who was speaking before? Somebody here? I thought it was Pesach David. Who is it?
I was asking you.
Yeah, what's up?
I was just saying that by Shchiv Merav, you got to, I was saying by Shchiv Merav that the person has to have his faculties when he's making these statements.
Yeah, right, clearly. Yeah,
okay. He has his full faculties.
Right. Okay, so that's you need full faculties, is right. Okay, let's go. I'm going to go on to the Gemara. Okay, everybody ready? All right. All right, let me just mute everybody again.
By the way, one last comment. Mm-hmm. Today, not necessarily the perot, the real estate itself is where it's at. So in other words, to support Reish Lakish, that the person who's got the land, the person, the real estate is not
what well, that's machloket, which is the key element. Right, okay. All right, let's get back on the Gemara. Okay, so we're around 10 lines down on Lamed Vav and Beis 36b, Ein Avlad Shel Kayam Mechulei. So now, if you remember in the Mishnah, we said with this, interesting brother-in-law, sister-in-law relationship, where the brother-in-law, Shimon, does Yibam, again, new case or old case, or he does Yibam with Rachel, and then it turns out Rachel is pregnant, but the Ein Avlad Shel Kayam, but the blood was not a viable offspring, so the Tana Mishnah said that Yikayim, that he can keep her as his wife. So Tana Mishum Reb Lezer Amru Yotzi Beget. So a Tana taught in a Brisa that in the name of Reb Lezer is Mechulak on our Mishnah. A Tana of our Mishnah holds that he can keep her as his wife. And again, Reish Lakish held that he had to do Yibam again, but he can keep her as his wife. But Reb Lezer is Mechulak with this. Reb Lezer holds that no, there's a rabbinic penalty because he did the wrong thing by having relations with this sister-in-law when she was pregnant and within 3 months of the death of her husband. So as a result of that, now, even though it turns out retroactively that Yibam was done, or however it worked out that Yibam was done, he nevertheless has to divorce her. Yeah, so again, so Reish Lakish would say you can hold like him as well. In other words, that Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish would say the Tana of the Mishnah means that then he'll do Yibam again and do Yibam with her, and then he can keep her. But either way, Reb Lezer says he can't keep her. He's got to divorce her. So if he holds like Rabbi Yochanan, then he's got to divorce her from the first Yibum. And if the Tana of the Mishnah is holding, if we interpret the Mishnah the way Reish Lakish said, so then no matter what he does, he's got to divorce her. So the only thing is the Tana Reb Lezer would say presumably that he shouldn't have Yibum again. So it works a little easier within Rabbi Yochanan, but either way, it means he can't hang out with her. But Reb Lezer Yotzi Beget, So it means at some point he did a proper Yibum. So that seems to work better with Rabbi Yochanan's Hesber, but there's a way to touch it up with Reish Lakish too. So Amarava, so Rava says, Rameir Reblezer, Amu Dabar Chag. So Rava says that the Tana Rameir and the Tana Reblezer said the same idea. In other words, when a person does something wrong, he has illicit relations with somebody. So even though there's a way for us to straighten it out, we're going to penalize him and say no good. So Reblezer had the Amra. So Reblezer was what we just mentioned. Remember, Reblezer, so the Gemara says Shemuti. He's either, according to one Pshat, he's a follower of Beit Shammai, or else he was placed in Nidui. Remeir Datani. Remeir, we learn in the Braisa. So this Braisa is coming up. Lo Yisadamu Beren Chavero Menechet Chavero. A person shouldn't marry a pregnant woman. In other words, this case, marriage number one is definitely over. In other words, husband number one died or divorced her, but she's pregnant. Or the marriage, terminated, but she's nursing a child. He says, now the idea is that we don't want somebody who's nursing for 24 months from the birth of the child, she shouldn't remarry, because we're afraid that this will deprive the child of his nourishment, like her ability to nurse him. And then if maybe she gets pregnant again, she won't be able to lactate or whatever. But you shouldn't marry. But so he says, Loistamu Berchaber Menechaber, the Imnasa. But if he did, in other words, he didn't follow the halacha. And let's say birth is a little easier, well, you know when the clock is going. But if he did marry within the 24 months, Yotzi, Loy Hazirul Amit Remeir, he has to divorce her. And he can never remarry her. So even though after 24 months it would be no harm, no foul, but because he violated halacha, we say tough luck, you can never marry her again, according to Remeir. So we think Remeir matches up with Reblezer, who said with this couple who were super eager for Yibum, but they jumped the gun, that he's got to divorce her. This is V'chachamim Omrim, the Chachamim say, he's got to divorce her. But then, after the expiration of 24 months, then he'll marry her. So we think that Remeir lines up with Reb Lezer. So Amarli Abaye. So Abaye, says to Rava. So Amarli Abaye, Mimai. Who says those two shitot match up? Dilma Lohi. Maybe it doesn't match up. Ad Kano Tomer Reb Lezer Hacha. Maybe Reb Lezer, who holds that we have to be tough with the Avam, Lomishum the Kabaga be Easter Eishadach the Raita. Here. He needs to be penalized because he was playing with fire. He was engaging with Arayos on a derisive level. I mean, it worked out in the end that she wasn't pregnant, but I mean that she wasn't carrying a viable offspring. But if she was, then he's engaged, with a terrible erva. He says about Hatam Drabanan, but over there, at worst, it's a rabbinic requirement that you can't marry within the 24 months. So Rabban Sfirle, perhaps the same Tana Reb Lezer, who holds here that we make her divorce, could hold like the Chachamim over there, that we just make her divorce, but then after the period of 24 months, let her remarry. Inami, or in the alternative, Akan lo kama Remeir Hatam, I could say that Remeir says over there by the nursing mother that, he's got a divorce and can never remarry her. Let me show the Rabbanan, it is rabbinic, but Chachamim asu chizav d'rei mutir mishal Torah. So, right. So sometimes we see that even though it's a rabbinic prohibition, they're coming more strict with a rabbinic prohibition than a Torah prohibition, because people, are likely to kind of be lax with the rabbinical, and Torah they're careful with. Aval hacha midiraita, here when we're talking about the Easter of marrying, like a brother's wife, mifresh parsha minah, people generally will stay away from it, and we don't need to add additional restrictions. Okay. Now, Amar Rava, uladivrei chachamim yotziah beget. So now Rava says, according to the chachamim, that say that when, in other words, the chachamim say with this pregnant woman, that you'll divorce her and then remarry her, right? That's what they say. Let's see the language. He says yotziah shegiyus manolatnos tiknos. So Rabbi says, according to Chachamim, Yotzi Abaget. He's got to give her again. In other words, he can't say, look, in six months, I'm going to marry her anyway. So why don't you just, disappear for 6 months, and then we'll get together again. So he says, no, he's got to divorce her. Amar Zutra, Dekanami de Ketani Yotzi, Velo Ketani Yafri Shvamina. So Mar Zutra says a careful reading of the Braisa would yield that result because it says Yotzi. It doesn't say Yafrish Mina Shmamina. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything that we did so far? Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, Daniel has a comment, and we're going to hear it right now. Go.
The Torah tells you you're allowed to do Yibum. If the sister-in-law wouldn't obey at that time, and later on you found out that the child is not Bar Kayama, then we have an opinion that you're not able to come to begin the Ritah. Now we're going to be Matneh under the bar of the Torah. The Torah tells you in this situation you're allowed to come and do Yibum.
Well,
so Chachamim want to come and give a class that you no longer can do with her.
No. You're missing a lot of things here, Daniel. If the Torah never says that if the widow is pregnant, then you go Yibum because you don't know at that point.
And the results we know.
Yeah,
we
but that was like no, you were like rolling the dice and then it worked out that way, but nobody would tell you to go ahead and try to come to Yibum. No. In other words, based on the facts that erupted, that emerged, you did the wrong thing by doing Yibum with her. Everybody agrees with that.
Yes.
Because you, as far as you knew, you might have been having relations with your brother's wife. It just worked out that it worked out okay. But what you did was a big aveira. So now, according to one opinion, according to the Tana Mishnah, you can stay with her. But according to the Tana Reb Lezer, the Chachamim put in a penalty that you have to divorce her. Okay. So the halacha, so I don't know what the halacha would be, frankly, in this case. It looks like the halakha would hold that you can keep that you could keep her. You kayim. All right, let's see. Now go further in the Gemara. All right, so we're 10 lines from the bottom. Amalei Ravashi Ravoshia Bered Ravidi. Ravashi says Ravoshi, the son of Ravidi, Hatam Tanan. It should be Tanya. We learned the Braisa. Ravashim Galul Meir Kol Shishab Adam Shoshim Yom Eno Nathal. That any offspring that survives for 30 days from birth is not a nathal. Nathal is a non-viable offspring. So it survives 30 days, it's a viable offspring. Now, he says ba'adam, because with the behema, it has to survive 8 days, is what Rashi says. And it's not a nathal, so it exempts the mother from chalitza, because now she's given birth to a viable offspring. He says, haloshaha sfeikahavi. So if it doesn't last 30 days, means it's a sapik. We don't know whether it was a bar kayam or not. In other words, the fact that the child dies within 30 days does not mean that it's not a bar kayama. It's just a sapik. So in that situation, in other words, let's say the widow was pregnant and she gives birth to an offspring, but the offspring only lasts 2 weeks. So we don't know if that was a bar kayama or not a bar kayama. So therefore, she'll have to do chalitza. She can't do yibum. And Rashi says, if we know that she was a full-term pregnancy, then we'll say even if he dies in 1 day, she's pater from yibum. Then she's off the hook. If we know it was a full-term pregnancy, but if we don't know it was a full-term pregnancy and the offspring died within 30 days, it's a safek whether it was a bar kayam or not. So she's got to do chalitza. She can't do yibum. Now he says now. Now, the itmar that it was stated, made betosh shloshim yom. Let's say you had a situation like this, where it was Rachel was married to Reuven. Reuven dies, and Rachel's pregnant, and then Rachel gives birth to a child, but the child dies after 2 weeks. And then she accepts kiddushin from a man. So we don't know. So at this point, again, it's a safek whether she needs chalitza or not. If it's a viable offspring, she doesn't need chalitza. But if it's not, then she needs chalitza before she can marry somebody. So he says, Ravina Mishmei de Rav Amar, Imeshet Yisrael hi choletet. So Ravina says, if husband number two was a Yisrael, it was the stranger from the shuk that married her, the kiddushin with her, if he's a Yisrael, so we'll have her do chalitza, because the chalitza will not interfere with her ability to continue to be married. Imeshet Kohen hi, but if husband number two was a Kohen, and even though she was an Almana, there's no prohibition for marrying a Kohen, ain't a Choletze. For reasons that we'll see in the Gemara in a few lines, she won't do Choletze. Rav Misharshia Mishmei de Rav Amar, Achat Zuba, Achat Zuba Choletze. Rav Misharshia says, according to Rava, so we have two statements in the name of Rava. Ravina Mishmei de Rava, and Rav Misharshia in the name of Rava. So So the first statement says, if it's an Ishan Kohen, we're carving an exception, that she doesn't have to do chalitza. The second statement says, Rabbi says, no, you have to do chalitza in either event, even though it'll aser her on her husband, and that'll be the end of that marriage. He says, Amalei Rabina l'Rabbi Sharshi. So Rabina had quoted Rabba, and Masharshi had quoted Rabba. So Amalei Rabina l'Rabbi Sharshi. Rabina says to Rabbi Sharshi, on the top line on the Zion of Aleph, Ve'orta Amal Rabba Hafi. He says, in the evening, Rabba said the way you quoted him, he says, which is that it's one rule for all. But in the morning, he changed his mind. So you're both correct quotes, but my quote is the updated version of what Rabba says. So Amalei, so Rabbi Sharshi said to him, Sharitu or Sharitua, you permitted her. In other words, that if she's a wife of Kohen, we don't make her do chalitza and she can marry, keep married. May you be like Hashem's Ratzon, you should be matir even like Chela. So he says, so now we're going back to the question and we'll talk about more about this case. So Rabbi Ashi had posed the following question to Rabbi Oshia Breed Rabbi Edi. Okay, one second. He says like this. So by Muberet Chaveiro Minech Chaveiro, a woman who was marriage number one, she was impregnated or nursing, had a sue the Kohen Mai. Now she's married to a Kohen again. So we said that that if he married her, he's got to divorce her, is what we said, right? But let's say she married a Kohen. Let's say husband number one, back with the earlier case with the Muberet and Meinika. So let's say the Muberet and Meinika, we said that you have to wait 24 months. But let's say within the sheet of the Chachamim, if he didn't wait 24 months, he's got to divorce her and then remarry her. That's what we said. But now let's say husband number two is a Kohen. Once he divorces her, he'll never be able to remarry her again. So he says, in other words, here we're seeing a situation with the case we were quoting about the Chalitza, with La Bar Kayama, that if she went off and married a Kohen, we're going to relax the dinim to do chalitzas to preserve the second marriage. So what about, let's say, in the other case? He says, make some, you know, advantageous enactment for a Kohen or not, or dispensation for a Kohen. Amarlei, so he said to him, Haki hashta, haki, compare the two cases. By the woman who's married, you know, with the Muberet, even the Ikarabana de Pligale, the Rosh Hamliel, the Rachamim who Mechulik Rosh Hamliel, the Amri, Apagab Lo Shavalad, Ma'al Yahavi. In other words, I'm sorry, by the case with the Chalitza, so the Rachamim who are Mechulik with Rosh Hamliel, and hold that even if the Vlad did not last 30 days, it's a viable offspring. It was what's called a viable offspring. So we hold Alaka, it's got to last 30 days. But if it doesn't last 30 days, we don't know. But there's an opinion that holds, no, if it's born and it's a live birth, so it's a viable offspring. So Mela, you don't need Chalitza. He says, so Gabi Esha Kohen came a little after Abdinan Rabbanan. So therefore, when she went off and married a Kohen, so we're going to follow that lenient Shita. About Hafa, but here, with the case with the Muberet Mineket, with the nursing woman, come on, Navid, who are we going to go like? We have two opinions. The mayor says you got a divorce, you can never remarry her. He says, and the Chamim say you have to give her a get. So there's no, we don't have an eitza in this case. The only choice is to give a get. That's, you know, too bad, so sad. But in the other case, we have, you know, a svara. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts? Okay, Fern is, wait, Fern's got a question than you. Okay, go ahead. Fern, go.
Thank you. When you say that someone is up for Yibum if the husband died and she was childless, if she lost a pregnancy either from miscarriage or a live birth, is she
Wait. You're saying a lot of different things all at once. It depends whether it was like a Bar Kayama or not. If she'd had a child, it's really the same question comes up in a minute, in a few days with Tanis Bechorim, right? So who you know, with Tanis Bechorim, it's only the Bechorim have to fast. Let's say a child is born, but his mother had given birth to an older brother, and then the older brother had died. So if the older brother is a Bar Kayama, so then he's off the hook. But like, it would, so it depends on the fact pattern of the case.
Is it a matter of being off the hook, or is it a matter of giving this woman zera from the family and giving them progeny from the brother?
That's a little bit like what Daniel was saying before, but in other words, the Torah says Uvein Ein Lo. He doesn't have a son. That's the way. Skip all the other svaras. Did he have a viable offspring? Listen, I should say with the Tanis Bechorim, it's a little more nuanced with the Tanis Bechorim, because there he has to be a Bechor. So it could be that even a miscarriage there could remove the obligation to fast. If the mother miscarried later in the pregnancy, he would not have to do the Tanis Bechorim. Okay, I have to wrap it up.
And when it's an Ein Lo Bein, does it mean Ein Lo Vat?
What? We're running out of time, Fern. What is it? What?
Ein Lo Bein, does it mean he also didn't have a daughter?
Right. Now, we'll quit 30 seconds for you, Daniel.
Tarpa, which is the Chelef,
which is the Bresha. Which is what? Bresha. Okay, Daniel says that we have Tarba that is like fat, but Daniel says another pshat that it means like Mugureshet. Right. Okay, I gotta go. Anyway, let me just. I gotta go. I'm sorry. Okay.